So we'll be having, I think, some sort of meet and greet after the service today. I don't know, you notice those cones. I don't think they're always out there anymore, but we'll definitely be there to greet you and talk to you and give you a little bit more detail about what we are doing in Abaco. But I'll just start off with answering that first question. It's frustrating. I'm not a great handyman, but I like to work. I love to cut grass. I like to do, you know, little chores around the house. If, you know, trim needs fixing or something like that, I like to do that. I like to work on my car to some extent with Gordon's help. I like to do those things. And if you've ever been there with me, and some of you have, and some of you experience this yourself, you start working, and you don't have what you need. So you drive 15 minutes to Home Depot, you take, you know, 10 minutes there and another 15 minutes back, you got a 40-minute break, and you reset, and everything starts all over again, and you continue to do that, and you work, and you run out of materials or don't have that tool, and so you do it again, and maybe three times that day, and you get to do that. I can't do that in Abaco. One, as many of you have experienced as well, the cost of materials has just gotten stupid expensive. And then two, they probably don't have it. Okay, so I can't just go. You have to plan ahead. It's frustrating. You know, my last 3 months here at Hebron, we're trying to figure out how can we broadcast a worship service to people around the world through the internet. And so I was up in the balcony or the attic there figuring out cables and boxes and electronics. And I had Best Buy and I had Amazon and I had pianos and stuff. I love pianos and stuff. I had them and I could go there and it's a 15-minute drive and I'm back. And I can figure it out and make it work or not, and I can go return it. I can't do that in Abaco. Right now, I have to order things to Miami and have it sent over 2 weeks later and pay triple the cost to have it shipped over and pay duty and all that jazz and then find out it doesn't work. And it's not worth returning because I spent all that money to do that. It's so frustrating. And last week, Henry left off in the Joseph story with one of the most depressing lines that I know of in Scripture. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. So let's pick up this story. If you guys have your Scripture, love for you to have your Bibles or your apps or whatever it is that you have. We'll pick up this Scripture, this story of Joseph in Genesis 41. But before we do, let's pray and seek God's wisdom. God, you are the giver of all good things. This is your word. You are the one who keeps your covenant, who keeps your promises. Lord, we thank you for your word. Would you prepare our hearts to hear your word? Would you help us to receive your word with faith and love and lay it up in our hearts and practice it with our lives. We thank you for your word and who you are and all of your promises. Amen. So, Genesis 41, we're going to read a lot here. I'm going to condense it just a little bit because there's two stories being told three times. So, we're going to condense it. So, we'll go, you'll follow along. Genesis 41, verse 1. After 2 whole years, remember, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph but forgot him. So after 2 whole years, Joseph, or Pharaoh, dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. And they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. The thin ears swallowed up the seven plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So, in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry at his servants, and you put me and the chief baker in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard, we had a dream the same night. He and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. And a young Hebrew was there with us, and he was a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving us an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And then Pharaoh told Joseph his dream, which we'd already heard. Okay, so then Joseph says to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. We're down in verse 25. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land of Egypt. Where the famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dreams means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers on the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. And that food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. Now this proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants, and the Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. Now the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is forever. Henry, a couple weeks ago, called this story of Joseph a YouTube story of the gospel. He explained that when he does house projects, he goes to YouTube. Many of us do this. Go to YouTube. You find out how to do the project. So you get this little preview of what you are going to experience in your work. And he says this about the story of Joseph, that this is a preview of the gospel. It helps us see the gospel of Christ. In theology school, we call this a type. It is a type of Christ. He's not the perfect image. Joseph is not the perfect image of Christ, but you can see where the gospel is in his story. There's so many connections that God shows the gospel through the story of Joseph. Even so, to this detail, as I was researching this, do you guys remember who it was that pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the travelers? It was Judah. So I went and did a little research and looked at the Greek version of the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and so we have the Septuagint, which is this Greek version of the Old Testament, the Greek translation. And Judah in Greek is Judas. So a man named Judas sold our character to someone else for silver. He's a type of the gospel. And God shows us these types all throughout Scripture. None of them is perfect. None of them is actually able to satisfy God's divine justice and his wrath. But he shows the promises. And God has these promises and he has these blessings for his people. And so my main idea for today is our covenant God lifts his suffering people to bless the world. So be a blessing. When I was in high school, Jerry and Dick Shorthouse and Tom Rebar was a youth pastor over at Mount Hope. They organized a breakfast every Wednesday morning at Mount Hope for, you know, our youth groups to come together. We'd go before school, and we'd go to Mount Hope. We'd have a Bible study, and then we'd all pile into Jerry's red Jeep Cherokee Sport. He'd drive us to school, and we'd all file out of the car, run up to school, and he would yell out the windows, "Be a blessing. Be a blessing." It's Jerry's voice. He was reciting a promise of God to us. Remember Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Jerry was telling us to be a blessing. He was reciting his favorite divine promise to us, that we would be a blessing to the school. Be a blessing. It's a promise of God that he will bless the world through us, through his people. The ultimate blessing is the work of Christ, but he shows us examples of this through Joseph, through the prophets. He shows us these types of gospel. And blessing, being a blessing, takes patience. Like I said, compared to here, Abaco can be quite frustrating. The amount of waiting that we have to do is incredible. We have two ships that come to our island from Florida and from Nassau, and they bring in all materials and groceries and all those things. Right now, one of them's in dry dock, so it's being repaired. So we have one ship right now that brings in supplies. So if you are not at the grocery store on Friday, you are not getting produce or dairy or anything sort of fresh. You have to be patient. When I had to come here, right, we have to have a negative COVID test. I had to stand online for 2 hours to get this test. I couldn't make an appointment. They don't do appointments. You go stand online. I had to stand online for 2 hours to get a negative test. I had an issue at road traffic department that I had to go do. So I went to the government center. I looked on websites, said, okay, they're open till 4. I go to the road traffic department, and on their windows, like they have these permanent wraps on their windows, and it says they're open till 2. Okay, the website says 4, the wrap says 2, but there's a paper sign on the door that says 1:30. 1:15, sweet. I got it. I'm here. Knock on it, try to open a door, it's locked, knock on it, lady comes out. She says, "We close at 1:30. I'm like, "It's 1:15. Sorry, sweetie, I can't do it." So you have to wait. It's so incredibly frustrating. I haven't taken care of this. Hopefully my car is still there when I get back. But, you know, it takes patience. And we see this in chapter 40. The cupbearer forgot Joseph. He told him the dream and it happened, and he forgot Joseph. But even before that, why was he in jail to be able to tell them the dreams? Because he fled from his master's wife, and his master threw him in jail. He was trying to honor his master, and he gets put in jail. Why is he even under a master? Because his brothers didn't like him. He was a bit of a jerk, but his brothers didn't like him and sold him to somebody. It's patience. And the whole time, he's serving his masters. Serving him well. And we begin our chapter here in 41, and it says, 2 whole years passed. 2 whole years. Every translation says whole or full. It's not just 2 years. It's 2 whole years has passed since he interpreted these dreams. Our covenant God lifts his people to bless the world. If we are going to be a blessing, we need to be patient. We need to realize that it is not going to be on our time. Joseph, by the way, doesn't have all of these promises written down yet. He has to remember God's promises to him. He remembers the promise to his great granddaddy that the Lord would bless all nations through him, through his people. Joseph grew in these years, and we see that in his interactions with his interpretations of the dreams, right? He has 3 series of dreams that he interacts with. The first one, he has his own dream, and he looks at his brothers and said, "You're going to bow down to me." Kind of a jerk, kind of a punk thing to do. But as we see him progress in these dream interpretations, chapter 40, he looks at the baker and the cupbearer, and he says, "Well, don't dreams belong to God? Tell me your dreams." I'm not saying that he sounds like he's trying to be God, but it's not very far. He just sprinkles in a little bit of God there, and he says, "Yeah, tell me your dreams, because dreams belong to God." And then with his interaction with Pharaoh, he says, "It's not in me, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." And then when he interprets the dream, he says, "This is what God is about to do." He interprets the dreams for Pharaoh, and he gives him the blessing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what is about to do, and he remembers the promise to Abraham that God will bless all nations through his own people. Joseph realizes it's not his blessing to give. Joseph isn't the one giving the blessing. It's God's blessing to give to the world. Joseph is just a part of it. He is just the deliverer. It's just like when we read Jerry read earlier in 2 Corinthians 4. What we proclaim is not us. It's not us, but we proclaim Christ. Christ is the blessing. And Joseph, in his interpretations of dreams, eventually realizes this. He goes from, you're going to bow down to me, interpretations are for God, to God is going to bless you. This is not me. And he points to God here. Conduit. It's another Jerryism. If you've ever heard him pray, you often hear him say that we would be conduits of God's grace and mercy. Now, I didn't really know what conduit was until they were building this building. And we had a staff meeting. And the contractors called and said, "Do you want a conduit underneath the floor?" I don't know. Sure. There's a hole in the back of the wall, and there's a pipe that runs under the floor, and it comes to these things. A conduit is just this delivery method. It's a pipe that delivers the blessing. And so when God blesses his people, he uses us as his conduit. We are just a pipe. We are a delivery method. We are not the ones who receive the glory. It's all to the praise of God's glory. We are just the pipe that delivers the blessing. We're not the one that gives the blessing, but we are the one that delivers God's blessing. And so Joseph here is humble. He deflects all praise from him, and he says, "This is not me, but this is God going to give you this blessing." Those of us who have faith in Christ have the incredible responsibility and the incredible privilege to be conduits of God's grace. We don't get the praise, yet we get the privilege of sharing the gospel of Christ. The denomination here, your constitution says the church, God's people, is sent to be Christ's faithful evangelist. The first end of the church is to proclaim the gospel of salvation of humankind. We are the ones that get to proclaim it. We don't do the blessing. It's all God's glory. that should be shown, but we get to participate in it. He's pleased to use us in blessing the world. Be a blessing. There's a quick tactic, I suppose, here of evangelism that Joseph uses. He shaves. He cleans up. He doesn't go in looking like a prisoner. Now, you remember all the Sunday school pictures of any of the Israelites. They're all hairy, bearded people, right? How many times have you ever seen a picture of Pharaoh with, now he has one of those cool chin straps, maybe something like that, right? Like a nice, tight, cut beard. But Joseph shaves as he goes into his audience with Egypt. He doesn't want to go in looking like somebody that's from the outside, right? This isn't a knock on beards, okay? This isn't a knock on beards. But he goes, he knows the people that he's going to reach, and he says, they're not going to take me seriously. I have no credibility here if I'm going to look like I'm a prisoner. I need to know what is going to reach them. And we can take this way too far, right? We can take this and say, I'm going to say this is okay. I'm going to go against Scripture. I'm going to go against God's will. But we do need to know who we are trying to reach and try to gain credibility in some way by shaving, by the clothes. The church of all eternity does not have a worship service like this. This is not the only way that we worship. That's not the only way we worship up there either. There's different contexts throughout the world that we need to know, how are we going to reach God's people? So Joseph shaves because he wants to have an audience with Pharaoh. He knows that Pharaoh will take him more seriously if he's clean and he's shaven. He humbles himself not only before God, but before the people he's trying to reach. And says, God wants them to hear this. How can I best let them hear this? Our covenant God lifts his suffering people to bless the world, be a blessing. And Joseph does have success. The blessing is given. He's successful in blessing the nations. Now, we don't know exactly what, you know, Pharaoh's faith status is. But if we look at verses 38 and 39, he says, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all of this, there's none so discerning and wise as you are. So Pharaoh hears the message. He hears that it's not Joseph taking the credit. He hears that maybe there is a God that is giving this blessing. He says the right thing. So Joseph is successful in this. It looks really good in how he's doing. We don't know what Pharaoh says or Pharaoh does, except he does hear the blessing of God, and he gives credit to God in this situation. Although Joseph's story from here on out looks pretty good, you know, he blesses the world. He's, as you'll see, he'll save his nation in some sense. He's not the final and perfect blessing that is promised. He's simply a type. He's not the blessing himself. He's not even the source of the blessing. He's just a humble conduit, a pipe. The story of Joseph gives us this type of gospel. Joseph lives. He's unjustly imprisoned. He figuratively dies, thrown into a pit, thrown into jail, thrown into a dungeon. He figuratively raises. And it's this story of the gospel. We see the gospel. Jesus, though, he says, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Jesus humbled himself to the people he was delivering. He is the source of the blessing. He is the blessing. He is the deliverer of the blessing. And he tells us to go and bless the world. Now, Henry, a couple weeks ago, challenged you. He asked the question, why did God give Joseph those first dreams about his brothers? Well, so he would remember, that he would remember that God has told him that they will bow to him. God gives him these dreams that he would remember that he has a role to play. He would remember his promises. So Henry challenged you to share some of the promises with each other. You know, a lot of the songs that we sing here have promises of God. They help us remember. When you're reading scripture, are you looking for the promises of God so that you can remember his promises and go and be a blessing? Remember them when you were down in the pit. Remember to give praise to God and rest in knowing that his perfect gospel has been told through Jesus Christ. Know that faith in him unites you, the believer, to him in his death and his resurrection, and eventually his ascension, all to the praise of his glory. Our covenant God lifts his suffering people to bless the world. Be a blessing. Let's pray. God, you are holy and you are good. You alone are our salvation. Lord, would you remind us of your promises? Would you help us to reach the people that we interact with? Would you help us submit to your will, to your word, to know your promises, and to love you and love others? God, we thank you for your word and for the ability to worship you. And we pray this all through Jesus Christ's name and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.